Seemingly since the dawn of humanity, there have been cryptid creatures and boogeymen lurking in the shadows just outside of our homes. What are these creatures exactly? We may never know. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another video. Today we're going to be sharing some creepy and allegedly true experiences with cryptid creatures sent in by viewers just like you. Now, if you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a cryptid encounter or something else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that truly help keep this show going on a daily basis. Now, without further ado, hit that like button, subscribe if you're new, and get ready for some creepy cryptid stories that'll keep you up tonight. Hi there. So long story short, my girlfriend and I were swapping scary stories. She told me about skinwalkers, which I had never heard of before. When she told me what they were and showed me a few videos, I immediately thought of an experience I had about 8 years ago, when I was about 15 and my brother was just 12. We grew up in rural northwestern Missouri, and lived over an hour or so north of Kansas City. We had two other houses on our road, both about a mile or so away, but they were both quite elderly couples, who I have never seen out past dark. All these houses on our road, mine included, were surrounded by corn and wheat fields and trees on all sides. One night, I was lying in bed trying to fall asleep, when I heard a blood-curdling scream outside my window. It sounded like a woman being brutally murdered in the road. Her scream was so garbled and desperate. I'm 5'3 and was a 15-year-old girl at the time, so obviously, I ran to my parents' room freaked out and told my dad what happened. I said that some girl definitely needed help out there. They said they had not heard anything outside, which blew my mind because it was so loud that it made my blood run cold. Not even 5 minutes later, my brother came running in saying he was in his room and heard a woman screaming for help outside. At this point, my dad started to get a bit concerned and ran outside, but there was no one around. I could usually see headlights through my bedroom window, so we were sure no cars had gone by, so there is no way she could have disappeared so quickly, especially judging by her screams. My mom, dad, and little sister, who was 8 years old at the time, never heard a sound, but my brother and I still occasionally talk about it to this day, because it was so weird and upsetting to us. My mom swears it was just an owl, but I heard screech owls a handful of times while living there, and this was not an owl. I've been told that mountain lions sometimes make noises that sound like a woman's scream, but they are incredibly rare in that part of Missouri. Even growing up in the country, with a forest behind my house, I'd only seen a mountain lion maybe once in the entire 10 years I lived there. My mom has also seen one once also in that time frame, but we don't really ever hear them. So I guess it could have been a mountain lion, but I still don't think that's what I heard. It sounded so distorted. It reminded me a lot of the skinwalker stories I hear on your channel. Maybe it wasn't a skinwalker. I don't know. But I hope you share this story anyway, so maybe, in the comment section, I can get some sort of answer. Ever since I was a child, I've been terrified of werewolves and wolves as well, especially movies about them, and as a kid, I was crazy enough to watch them, but I covered my eyes whenever I knew the scary wolf was going to appear. So this obviously gave me terrible nightmares for most of my life. It was a Friday, on Halloween night, my favorite holiday. It was in 2016, and at the time I worked as an English teacher in a company I always thought did not appreciate me. On that night I was planning to watch a horror movie marathon, like I did every year, but I was thinking about watching a werewolf movie that year. But one of my coworkers recommended me an old movie called An American Werewolf in London. It sounded scary, but I really wanted to face my fears and give it a shot. On that day, I was very excited because I had already bought candy for the trick-or-treaters and some beer for myself, but I had wished I did not have to work until 5 p.m. So, as soon as I got off work, I took my things and left my office. I drove my car home, which I called the Batmobile, To execute my plans, I listened to the song called Thriller, which I loved listening to on Halloween nights. I got home at 7 p.m. or so, then I took a beer from my fridge, drank a long sip, and heard the door ring, which scared me for a second, but then I heard, "Trick-or-treat!" behind my door. So I opened it, complimented the kids' cool costumes, and gave them candy. The trick-or-treaters kept visiting me until about 8 p.m, and all the while, I listened to heavy metal and ate ramen for dinner. After that, I grabbed my laptop and watched my horror movie marathon, and I left the werewolf movie for last. I sometimes had to pause to get another beer, and it scared the crap out of me, but I still thought it was a pretty great movie. So I was 6 beers in, and decided to go to sleep at midnight. That night I had a terrible nightmare, where I had run away from a werewolf in a dark, foggy, and creepy forest, which was only lit by a full moon. In my dream, I was screaming my lungs out and I felt extremely disoriented and afraid of the huge, bulky, black, as-night werewolf that was chasing after me. I ran for my life for what seemed like hours, but I felt the beast closing in on me. I turned around several times and all I could do was see this dark silhouette, bright red eyes, and yellow teeth baring at me. I screamed again, and I ran a bit faster now. Out of the blue, I came across a huge fallen tree that blocked my way, so I had no choice but to jump over it. I heard the werewolf growling and panting behind me, so it must have jumped the tree too. While I was still mid-air, I felt a sharp pain in my back, and I woke up suddenly. I then jumped from my bed, in fright, hit my body against the floor, and cursed. I rubbed my eyes and got up slowly. Out of nowhere, I felt a sudden strong pain in my back, just like in my dream. I tried reaching for the place where I felt the pain, but I could not reach it. So I went to the bathroom, washed my face, drank a little bit of tap water, and saw myself in the mirror. I turned around and to my horror, I saw 5 deep bloody gash marks on my back. I jumped forward and said, "What the hell is that?" The next day, I went to the hospital and got my wound patched up. I simply lied to the doctor and said my cat had scratched me while I was sleeping. I obviously don't own a cat at all. To this day, I still ask myself if that was just a crazy dream, or did my terrified mind somehow make it reality? Who knows? To this day, I still ask myself if it was just a crazy dream, or did my terrified mind somehow make it reality? Who knows? Truth is, I never watched a werewolf movie again. I was so scared that I would have another nightmare as vivid and terrifying as that one. I think what I encountered was more likely a tulpa. But I'd love to know your guys' thoughts in the comments below. Hello, Swamp. I'm an avid hunter and fisherman. Anyone that knows me personally knows I love to go outside and do just about anything that has to do with the outdoors. But after my encounter, I have become very wary, and am always on edge while in the woods. I was going squirrel hunting one afternoon, and was on my own, however. I did not usually go to the same stretch of woods alone. Now, I forgot to mention that this is an area of Louisiana that several others have submitted stories to you from. Anyone that hunts in Louisiana has heard of this national forest. The name of the forest is Kissatchee National Forest. Anyways, as I was saying, I was squirrel hunting and was enjoying every minute of it because it was opening day. I was not having much luck, but was happy to be out there and enjoy the nature. There was a small creek, and I was hunting beside it. This creek had the most peaceful flowing sound, along with the hooting of owls and the song of birds. It was like a lullaby, if you ask me. But I was tired of all the walking, so I just decided to sit down and take a little bit of a break. I sat on the ground and leaned against this massive pine tree that probably 3 men could have barely wrapped their arms around. Anyways, due to my lack of sleep the night before and all the walking, I fell asleep and woke up an hour later to a truck horn. It was now dark out, and my uncle was expecting me to meet him back at the truck. So, I got up and quickly walked as fast as I could back to the truck. But as I was heading back, I noticed that there were no natural noises. The woods were completely silent. The only sound was the flow of the creek and the placement of my feet. This gave me a creepy vibe, because normally there would be owls and crickets and all kinds of things being vocal, but not even an acorn falling from a tree was observed. At this point, I might have been walking for 15 minutes thinking nothing really of it, when suddenly, I heard a branch snap, and I came to an instant halt. I had a Remington 870 Wingmaster, and some bird and buckshot with me. I had the buckshot loaded in my gun, because we have lots of hogs out there, and I had been charged several times by them. But something about this was different. It was not like a boar or a deer. There were no repetitive steps, and pigs usually squeal when spooked. This was like whatever made the branch snap did not want me to know that it was there. I stood there for at least 5 minutes scanning the area, since there was a full moon and I could see well. At this point, I thought maybe it was a tree branch falling by itself, but honestly it did not sound like it came from above. It sounded like it was stepped on. I continued thinking nothing of it for about 5 minutes until I could hear what sounded like bipedal footsteps behind me. I dreaded to turn around, but when I did, there was nothing there. At this point, I had sped up my pace, but soon realized that I had turned off the trail back to the truck and needed to head back from where I came from. So, I started towards the trail once again. Not long after I turned around, I heard the footsteps once more. Except this time, I turned around and was greeted by the most horrifying thing I have ever seen in my life. The smell it gave off cut off my breathing. I honestly could not inhale. It was worse than the smell of a 3-day-old gut-shot deer. The smell of rotten meat filled the atmosphere around me. The creature itself almost made me gag, but I just physically could not move. This creature was at least 7 feet tall and had a torn look. The head resembles that of a deer skull, and it looked like it had no eyes. All but a faint, white dot for pupils. The lower half of the body resembled that of the back of a deer, and the torso resembled that of a man. It held me there with its eyes until I saw it getting closer. At this point, I threw up my gun and pumped all 3 rounds of buckshot into the chest of the creature. But to my surprise, the thing did not even flinch. It just stood there and stared at me directly in the eyes. A few seconds later, I was snapped out of the stare down by my uncle honking his truck horn again. This is when I decided to turn and run like hell. When your body is pumped with adrenaline, you seem to be able to do anything better than you ever could before. In this case, I felt like I was running faster than I ever had. But even at the pace I was going, I could hear this creature screaming and proceeding to chase me. The scream was not like of a person or an animal, but was a mixture of both. As soon as I made it to the head of the trail, this creature stopped and watched me proceed to the truck. On the final time that I looked back, the creature was gone. Honestly, at this point, all I wanted to do was get the heck out of there. I jumped in the truck without even loading my gun in its case. My uncle asked me what was wrong, but I just turned to him with a pale face and said, "Get me out of here." He stepped on the gas and we hit the road. I finally gathered up enough courage to tell him what happened, but just the thought of the creature caused me to vomit all over the floor of my uncle's truck. This was not that long ago. This probably happened less than a year ago now that I think about it. I have heard of something called a rougarou, but that creature resembles a werewolf. The creature I encountered was more like a skimwalker, but it is exceedingly rare to hear of them down here in Louisiana. My grandma was full-blood Cherokee and told me stories of creatures that would haunt them. My grandmother's family would worship these creatures in hopes of protecting themselves from them.
Hello, I'm a 28-year-old female, and I live in the Pacific Northwest, and this has happened to my boyfriend and me. We live in the central part of Oregon and have access to tons of beautiful forests, lakes, rivers, and just general wilderness. One of our favorite things to do is go deep into the forest, away from all the noise and people, and cook dinner over a fire. We like to let our 2 dogs roam the forest at will, without having to worry about other people or leashes. We have a 100-pound Alaskan Malamute and a very tenacious Australian cattle dog. I am typing that out for context, as these are not timid or small dogs. We pack up some salmon and head into the mountains. We have a Toyota Tacoma, so off-roading is second nature for it. We started out on the main gravel road, heading into the mountains. We always go off the beaten path and started taking logging roads and smaller, harder-to-navigate dirt roads. The deeper you go, the less likely you are to see someone else. We drove for about an hour until we found a small clearing with a large hill to the right of the clearing and a small canyon towards the left. If we continued driving straight, the dirt road would most likely lead to water or another canyon, as the road was heading downward. The setup is important for context. So, the truck was parked like it was going to continue down the road. To the left of the truck was a small canyon, and to the right was a clearing, and then the large steep hill. We were in total forest, so we could only see the clearing and a little bit past the tree line. The first half hour or so was completely normal. The dogs are running all over the place, and I was collecting firewood while my boyfriend started the fire. After somewhere around 45 minutes, both dogs came and sat right by the truck and did not move. It seemed a little odd to me, but I figured they were just hot and tired. Up towards the steep hill, we all hear a rhythmic knocking, like someone is rapping their knuckles on a tree. The dogs are on instant alert, and this is when I start to feel that something is not quite right. We rationalize the knocking sounds as best as we can, perhaps a woodpecker or a bird, but deep down, I know something was not right about it. The knocking had a pattern. What bird or woodpecker would do that? Another 15 or so minutes go by, and we start eating some delicious campfire salmon. This is when we hear the first sound. To the right of the steep hill, we hear a loud guttural roar, for a lack of a better word. It sounded about 200 yards away. Not that big of a deal. We had black bear and cougar repellent. Most likely a bear, because cougars, they're gonna have a scream, but this was definitely a deep roar. It is far off, so we are not too worried and continue to eat. The second roar comes from the left in the canyon, and this one is closer, maybe only 100 yards away. Now we start to get a little concerned. The likelihood of territorial bears this close to each other is extremely unlikely. Both dogs are on high alert and looking in three areas: the hill, the canyon, and straight ahead down the road. We start slowly packing up, but still we are not too worried, as the roars are coming from farther away, and we rationalize that maybe the second roar was an echo. The third roar comes from straight ahead, like 50 yards down the path ahead of us. Now we panic. The likelihood of three bears this close together is just not normal. Also, the fact that whatever is making these sounds is essentially surrounding us in a triangular position. Within seconds of the third roar comes the loudest, most horrifying roar yet. It is so loud I drop all of my food and almost soiled myself. It sounds massive and angry. It is coming from the right, up the steep hill where we first heard the screams. It sounds very close, only 25 to 30 yards away if I had to give an educated guess. I throw the dogs in the truck as full-blown panic sets in. The fifth and final roar comes from the left again, and it is closer as well. It becomes clear that whatever these three creatures are, they have been advancing on us in a triangular position and seem to be working together. No way in hell those were bears. We douse the fire, cover it in dirt to be totally safe, and are literally throwing things into the back of the truck. Once the fire was out, we did not hear anything else. No roars, no movement in the trees. We race out of there literally thinking I'm going to see three creatures barreling after us. We are so horrified, we take the wrong way out. Luckily, it took us to the main road eventually anyway. But the fear we were feeling was suffocating. I wish I had some sort of logical explanation. Perhaps it was just three large territorial bears. But deep down, I know there is really no possibility of that. How did they advance on us so fast without us hearing any movement? This is a dense pine forest with needles and crunchy foliage all over the ground. I do not know what was out there that night, but I made a point to remember the mile marker, so we never ever go to that exact spot ever again. I was 22 when this happened, so roughly about 2 years ago. For the past 5 or 6 years, I've only had two friends who have stuck with me through everything. We live within 5 minutes of each other, in a rural area in southwest Ohio, specifically in the hills of the Ohio River Valley. For anonymity's sake, I will be Glenn, my two friends will be Wayne and Alex, and my brother, who is also a part of our friend group, will be Ray. Alex and Ray are next door neighbors. They both live on a decently sized plot of land. There is a lot of farmland and thick forest. Behind Wayne's house is a couple of small ponds we used to fish in all the time. His house was small and not in the best condition, and Alex lived in a medium-sized brick house. We would usually go to Wayne's house to hang out during the summer, since his parents were always at camp, and Alex's house or my house during the other seasons. This is somewhat relevant, but mostly for setup. Like I said, this happened 2 years ago. We all have a very big fascination and love for guns. So when Alex called and told me he had bought a brand new AR-15, I knew we were going to end up shooting it before the day was over. I grabbed my SKS Paratrooper Carbine and Glock 19. Ray grabbed his AK-47 and his SIG P-230, and we got in my Jeep and drove to Alex's house. It was still early, about 3 in the afternoon. Less than 5 minutes after we had pulled in, a black Chevy Impala pulled into the driveway, Harold Dingwayne's arrival. He brought his AR-15 and his Beretta M9. We shot for a couple of hours, just taking pot shots at a wooden target Alex had built in his backyard. We had burned through a pretty big chunk of ammo. I decided I wanted to get something to drink, so I got in my Jeep and drove about 10 minutes away to the closest gas station. After getting to the gas station and getting a few cans of the Nectar of Gods, by which I mean Monster, I headed back to Alex's house. When I came back, I saw Wayne, Alex, and Ray standing by the door at the side of the house. Alex had a very uneasy look on his face. I got out of the Jeep and walked over and asked them what was going on. "We heard some weird stuff going on in the woods a few moments ago," Wayne told me. I asked him what he was going on about, and what he meant by weird stuff. Alex began to explain. "We heard some sort of loud vocalization that sounded like a mix between a coyote's yelping and a howl. None of us had any idea what it could have been, so we decided to forget about it. We went inside and decided to play some games. After a few hours or so, I became bored and started browsing 4chan on my phone, and lost track of time. It was getting pretty late, though." Wayne had walked outside to smoke a cigarette, Alex was taking a crap, and Ray's girlfriend came and picked him up. Alex's dog started to bark all of a sudden, and startled me. I heard Wayne come back inside to the house rather quickly. I asked him what was going on and if something was wrong. "Step outside and check for yourself," he told me. I stepped outside, curious about what the dogs were barking at, and the second I opened the door, the smell hit me. It was the worst smell I have ever smelled in my life. Imagine the smell of a wet dog, the smell of a dead deer rotting in the sun, and the smell of a landfill. This is the best way I can describe it. Absolutely repulsed by the smell, I went back inside and told Wayne I can see why he came in so quickly. The dogs were still barking, and they seemed to be getting more aggressive by the moment. Alex finally came out of the bathroom, wondering what the commotion was all about. Wayne explained the smell, and Alex seemed more curious than anything. He was also angry about the prospect of someone trespassing. He grabbed his AR-15 and 1911 and walked outside to look around. He told us to stay inside until he got back. Not thinking too much of it, we agreed, and I began browsing 4chan once again. I was startled when I heard a dog yelp followed by 5 gunshots in rapid succession. A couple of minutes later, Alex busted through the door. "Get your freaking guns," he said in a panicked voice. "Some tall dude in a ghillie suit just killed one of my dogs." We grabbed our guns and followed him outside, staying close the entire time. Sure enough, in the backyard, we found one of the dogs dead. His throat was ripped open. This was not a small dog either. It was a large poodle mix of some kind, one of the big ones. Close by, we saw the other dog cowering in his house. The cows in the pasture on the other side of the road were mooing as if they were afraid and agitated. I asked Alex to explain what was going on, and he told me. "I was on the other side of the barn when I heard the dog yelp. When I rounded the corner, I saw a figure that looked like a big guy in a ghillie suit running towards the woods. I shot at him, hoping to hit him in the leg and incapacitate him, but I don't think I hit him." The same smell I described earlier was still hanging in the air, but it was faint now.
Wayne and Alex had flashlights on their rifles, and I had one on my pistol. So I slung my SKS over my back and drew my pistol, and we fanned out and searched the area. I was not expecting to find anything. I could see Wayne heading to the other edge of the property, and Alex was moving towards the cow pasture. I headed back towards the barn, and as I started to step in, I lit a cigarette. I felt raindrops start to hit me, so I stepped into the barn to smoke. I stood there for less than a minute when I heard another gunshot. It came from the direction Wayne went in. I started walking off that way and saw Alex heading that way too. While we were making our way over, Wayne fired off three more shots. "What the heck are you shooting at?" Alex asked. I saw the dude, but Alex's voice was shaky and hushed. It didn't look like a guy. Wayne took a heavy gulp and continued to explain. "It looked like a big dog or a wolf. I could clearly see muzzle and ears. I saw it standing behind some bushes, but it had to have been standing on its hind legs." He stopped and pulled out a cigarette, his hand shaking, but still managing to light it. I sized it up using a tree nearby. It had to have been over 6 foot tall. "What are you even talking about? Are you freaking schizo?" Alex asked. "You know there aren't any wolves nearby, and coyotes don't get that big. Do you think a coyote would have had the guts to come up and rip my dog's throat out? We've got to be dealing with some sort of hermit or something like that." I chimed in. The tree that Wayne was talking about was about 350-ish feet away, so we all walked over to see what he was talking about. The rain started to pick up, and the wind was getting strong as well. The clap of thunder put us all on edge. Sure enough, once we reached the tree, a large maple, the branch he used to determine the size of this creature was close to 8 feet off the ground by our estimate. We decided to put the other dog into the garage to keep it safe from whatever was messing with us. This dog was inside a small kennel, but if you live in a rural area, you know a junkie finds a way to break into places. Alex locked the door, and we ran back inside to the house. "So, should we just leave? We can just crash at Glenn's house until morning," Wayne said. I reminded him that Ray and his girlfriend were there. His face instantly shifted to that of disgust. We all hated her. None of us wanted to deal with her crap, so we unanimously decided to hunker down with our guns and stay awake on shifts. It was past midnight at this point, and I volunteered to take the first shift. From midnight to 2 a.m., Wayne and Alex passed out, and I sat there watching out the window. I became bored after the adrenaline wore off. I reached into my backpack and pulled out a meticulously crafted Gurkha cigar. I stepped out into the back porch, lit my stogie, and began to smoke and unwind. I stood there for about 10 minutes when I heard the cows start to make a lot of noise again, and I could hear the other dog barking aggressively inside the garage. I became on edge again and sat my cigar in the ashtray. I unslung my rifle and held it with the safety off. I made sure not to stray too far away from the porch light, but I got far enough into the field to see movement in the tree line. I could not see what it was, but in the gap of the trees and undergrowth, I saw quick flashes of a gray figure. I began feeling very uneasy, so I started backing to the house. I could hear rustling over the breeze. It sounded like it was moving towards me. I pointed my rifle in that direction. If you are not familiar with guns, a typical SKS has a 10-round fixed magazine, which means it does not come out. I had 10 shots to defend myself before I would have to reach for my pistol if something were to happen. The rustling stopped. I still could not see anything. I was about halfway between the porch and the tree line. Time felt like it had stopped. I felt like I was standing there for hours. I turned and ran, hearing something burst out of the undergrowth behind me. I reached the back door and threw the door open, struggling to catch my breath due to years of smoking. Wayne and Alex had both woken up at this point, and Wayne's shift started soon. I told them about what happened, and they told me to go lie down for a bit, and when I woke up, we would all sit up until sunrise. I laid down on the couch and managed to somehow doze off. I was awoken not long after by Wayne shaking me. "We gotta go now," he said in a panicked tone. "Alex went outside over a half an hour ago, and he still isn't back yet." I was still half asleep, so it took a second to sink in. "Alex is gone?" I asked, trying to make sense of what I was hearing. I sat up and asked Wayne to explain what was going on. "We heard the cows outside acting agitated, but then they started to sound like they were afraid,
and some of them managed to trample through the fence. Alex went out to see what scared them, told me if he wasn't back in 10 minutes to call the cops.
By now I was lacing up my boots.
How with that? Wayne began to say. Alex is a brother. We can't just leave him out there. We're going to go out there and find him.
I agreed without hesitation.
We grabbed our guns, my backpack full of extra ammo, and Wayne grabbed a machete. We walked out the door and locked it behind us. I could see the spot in the fence where the cows had broken through. We crossed the road and walked into the pasture. This pasture is huge. Part of it is just grass. It also has a small pond, but most of it is forest. Flat forest. The kind with not much undergrowth and where the trees are spaced out more. A great place for cattle, and a great place to hunt as well. If I had to guess, I would say it was at least 200 acres. Wayne used to hunt on this farmer's land as well. He was leading the way when he heard a long string of rapid gunshots, followed by a short pause, followed by 9 more shots. It was clearly Wayne emptying his rifle, grabbing his pistol, and emptying it as well. We sprinted in that direction, even though it sounded pretty far off. We reached the wooded part of the property and started to call for Alex. We kept making our way in that direction that we heard the shots. Panic began to set in with each passing moment. Wayne was losing his cool and I wasn't far behind. Wayne suddenly fired off a shot and began sprinting. There he is, that's gotta be him. He was yelling. I gave chase, but was also trying to just keep up. Yo, slow down, I yelled, trying to get Wayne to listen to me. We need to stick together or we're gonna be screwed. But he did not listen. His light was bobbing back and forth as he ran, and I continued to follow. I slipped in a mud puddle. At least I hope it was mud. And ate dirt. I looked up, trying to regain my bearings and figure out what was going on. When I looked up, I saw the silhouette of something standing about 50 feet away. It looked like a big German Shepherd-type dog standing on its back legs. Its ears were up. I could see its muzzle as it was looking in a different direction. I looked down and saw it did not have front legs, but what looked like arms with hands and fingers, tipped with claws. It seemed to be covered in gray, matted fur. What stood out the most to me were the piercing yellow eyes. I saw it run off in the direction that Wayne was going. I stood up as quickly as I could. I gave chase in the same direction. If Wayne was in danger, I had to do something to try and help. I ran and ran. I started to hear gunshots and eventually saw Wayne's light in the distance. He stopped shooting, and I saw the light point at the ground, like he was reloading. I caught up and asked him if he saw it. I looked over and noticed Alex on the ground, his back against a tree. I started to panic and ask if he was okay. He is breathing, just unconscious, Wayne replied. We've got to get him home. We both picked him up and slung him around our shoulders. We began to make our way back to the house, but we knew we were being watched and even worse, followed. We could hear it moving. When we stopped, it stopped. I drew my pistol with my free hand and switched on the light attached to it. My eyes stung as sweat made its way inside. Wayne and I were both out of breath and still had quite a long way to go. After about 20 minutes, Alex woke up. We stopped and asked him what happened. He began to explain what happened, but was cut off by the sound of a branch snapping. Wayne and I both trained the lights in that direction and saw the now familiar flash of gray just at the edge of the light. I turned in that direction and fired off 3 shots. We heard a growl and the sound of something big running away from us. We took the opportunity and booked it. If I had kept track of time and direction as well as I thought, we should break out of the trees in about 10 minutes' time. Then we should be able to see the light from the house. Luckily, I was right. We broke through the tree line and into the pasture. We felt like we were in the clear. We could see the light from the house. We ran through the pasture and made it to the fence and crossed the street. I asked Alex to unlock the door to the house. He frantically searched his pockets for the key but could not find it. He began to panic. Wayne calmed him down and suggested he try a window. Alex, being the smallest of us, agreed. We went out to the back of the house and managed to remove the AC from a window, which Alex then climbed through. He let us in, and the rest of the night was uneventful. I'm sorry for the anticlimactic ending to the actual story, but I have more to say. The next day, I talked to the owner of the pasture where this all happened. He found three of his cows dead and partially eaten. He has also found a blood trail in the wooded area that led towards the house and the opposite direction, to the edge of his property. He also found Alex's keys on the ground where he had been knocked out and we had found him. The farmer explained the blood trail led to the land owned by an old hermit who lived in a trailer in the woods. He apparently never leaves and has relatives bring him food and is rumored to have messed with occult stuff in his younger days. We told the farmer everything, but he did not believe us, thinking we just saw a pack of rabid coyotes or feral dogs. None of us agree with that, though. So what could it have been? Was it a wolf-like cryptid? Was it a werewolf? I don't know. Alex still lives in the same house and he has not heard or seen anything since. Once again, sorry for the anticlimactic ending. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true creepy cryptid encounters sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a cryptid encounter or something else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd absolutely love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, as stories like yours help keep this show going. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it in the algorithm, and that helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit the subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you're on the go and don't have YouTube Premium, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller Scary Stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. The best part of it all is it's 100% free. If you want to support the Swamp outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, check out the merch store. You can find all kinds of cool stuff from t-shirts, to face masks, to mugs, to hoodies, to just about anything you could want. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. We are very, very close to 200,000 swamp-dwelling creatures I could have never imagined coming this far. Thank you guys so, so much, and I'll see you soon with another creepy video.